Number one, Jim built me a handrail to be able to climb up here. I appreciate that so much. Number two, Doug comes over and spots me, and in case I suppose lose grip on the handrail and fall on the floor, he's going to be there to catch me or pick me up, whatever. And that is just so special, you know. You feel a little bit cared about. And I like that. However, cross current and on the other side of the coin from that, man, does it make me feel old and decrepit. I mean, I would love not to need any of that, but it's there and it's love, and I appreciate it more than I can say. Good to be here. Glad you're here. Good to be God's people. No matter what phase of life it is, no matter what circumstance it is. Each of us in this room have had circumstances, quite a few, and maybe the further along we get, the more we've had, and the more difficult they are, that really pulled us down. I mean, am I going to make it? Is this going to be too tough, and I just will crumple up, and after this I'll be finished, done for? You have circumstances that pull you down. You've had them. Almost everybody in the room has had them, because that's just part of life. Tough times, things that eat you up, and then glad and bright times. But I have learned one thing, and that is the older you get, the more you have these things, I think the more faith is built in you, because you come through them, you pass them by. You got over it, and you look back and you realize, you know what, I was really at the bottom. I didn't think I could get through this, but here I am. How'd I get here? Well, I got help. I got someone else on my team who had strength beyond mine. And I'm coming here today, and you are too, I hope, just to praise Him. Say, thank you, Lord. You brought me to a better time. You brought me through some tough things. And you're the reason why, not me. Not any other thing on this existence except my God. I love that, and it's faith building. I'm almost at the beginning of my time. I'm not going to go long, but I'm going to tell you a quick story. I told somebody, I think Mike and maybe some people, I don't know who I told what, but I had a fall the other day. Not really, it wasn't a fall. I went out stupidly, okay, because I can't do much anymore. And I've been limited, and you push against that. You don't want to be limited, so you take it to whatever limit you think you can make. But there are briars growing up here and there around my place that they're taking advantage of the fact that I can't go get them. And they are attacking. And I decided, well, I'm going to attack back. We're going to have a little bit of a beginning of a new war. So I have this pair of loppers. You know loppers? They can hack off stuff big as your finger with these things. And man, I'm going through briars, cutting them down. But they're located, some of them, out. I have a barn, and out that barn there's a steep hill. And I used to just scoot right up and down that hill. And I decided, well, I think I can make it. So very carefully, I crawled kind of, you know, tiny baby steps at a time, get down that hill. And then I get to the bottom of the hill where the briars are, and I'm hacking those things. Man, we're at war. And they're going down. Problem is, I got to get back up that same hill. And I don't take but about two steps until I realize, this is going to be a problem. So I finally decided, well, I'm not going to make it unless I get down on all fours. I didn't get on my knees, but I got on my hands and my feet, and I'm trying to get back up this hill. And I got all the way to the top. But right at the top, the incline gets a little steeper. And I realized, I'm not going to be able to make this. I can't get up that last little 2 feet, almost straight up rise in this bank. Now what do I do? Calling Jean's no good. She can't pick up 5 pounds. How she's going to work with me, you know? And just pause there for a moment, thinking. So I decided, you know what, I can get this high. I can kind of lay down and lean up on that place where I'm trying to get to and just work my way up and just roll up, which is what I did. I rolled up onto the plateau, and now I think I'm safe. But I am worn out. All the muscles in my body are tired. I mean, they're hurting. And I can't get up on my feet. I cannot get up. What on earth am I going to do? And so I just lay there and said, well, I'll just rest a while, laying right here flat on the ground. And I'll get some strength back and I'll get up. Well, I lay there. I didn't get much strength back. I tried to get up again, and I realized I'm going to fall. If I get up, I'll get halfway up, and I'm down again. And so I'm laying flat on my back, just thinking, what am I going to do? And I'm looking up over the up high. It's a nice clear day, and there are buzzards flying. They have spotted dinner. That put my mind to going again. And so I look over about, far from here to that second pew there, where I had my old truck parked, it won't run anymore. And so I came up with an idea. Those buzzards inspired me. I just rolled over to the truck. I didn't get up. Once I get there, I take the bumper of the truck, get my elbows on it, and I manage to get myself upright again. Tough times. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and here I stand on my feet. I don't want any credit for that. I'll give some to those buzzards, the rest to God. He got me here. What a God, what a life. You can do it with the strength He will give. And that's the main part of my lesson today. Psalms chapter 105, verse 4 and 5. And I'm claiming that this is an incredible psalm. It's going to form the outline for my lesson today. Before I get to it, let me just say, felt devotion. Not just what sometimes we've watered words down. I hate the way we've murdered the English language and just take it. And we like people who have ears to hear but cannot hear. And Jesus makes reference to those. That's the saddest state maybe to be in you'll ever get in. Ears to hear, but you cannot hear. Not what God says, even from His Word. We just water down language. We read over it. We don't hear nothing. Because we've let Satan blind our eyes and clog our ears and cut us off from God in so doing. And don't even realize it. We still hear as good as anybody. No, you can't. Nor I. In plenty of time, I can't either. Let me first say there are a few absolutely wonderful scriptures that I used to read where I was inflicted by that can't hear disease. Couldn't hear it. Didn't hear it. I don't even know when I began to hear some of the things I read so many times. But let me read this one to you. It's such a scripture where God just lets us look into His heart. Right inside it. I don't know how many times I'd read this before I realized that's what He's doing. He's letting me look inside His heart. And here it is. Mark chapter 7 verse 6. This people, He said. He's talking about those there then. And what had happened before that leads up to this. Jesus was traveling. He's up on the western side of that territory of the Galilean Sea. And He's going through towns and villages. And he's drawn enough attention. He's getting some resistance. And these guys came all the way from Jerusalem down there. Pharisees, others perhaps. And they say to Him, in essence, and paraphrasing, teacher, your followers are not washing their hands before they eat. Why do you... The implied question is, why is that? They're transgressing the traditions of our fathers, of the law. They're just violating it all over the place, and you're not doing anything. You're not saying anything. And Jesus used that to say this. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. There's no worship happening. What they're trying to do and call worship or trying to honor me, it's fake. I don't want it. I reject it. That's what He says back to them. And what He has done here in total openness is show us Himself, His heart. They honor me with their lips, but it doesn't mean anything. In fact, it's the reverse of any meaning. Their heart is what I want. And it's far from me. He's actually saying there, from His heart, I want your heart. And there's no sinner where that's not true. We've had that come up in class today. He came to seek and save sinners. He wants hearts, not motions, not lip service words. Not anything that has no felt devotion in it. He don't want it. It's useless. this trash. And he rejects it. And he wanted to do it. So we get to look right inside his heart and see what he wants and what he rejects. What would be so special to him and what is foul to him. He's actually saying to them, what you're actually doing that you think is so God-serving is hurting me. You're hurting me. I wanted your hearts. You're not giving them. Psalms, verse 100, one of my favorites, defines, in my opinion, it defines the felt devotion love that God wants. Wants it from me, wants it from you. Doesn't want anything fake. Doesn't want to go through motions. Doesn't want me to learn some new, tacky, world-accepted ways to serve Him, to worship Him, even to teach, as we were talking last night at the teacher meeting. He wants me. He wants my heart. I teach by what I am. If my heart is devoted to Him, felt devotion, not just claimed, not just empty, but felt devotion. In order to qualify as devotion, it's got to be felt. The word isn't even the appropriate word if you don't feel it. Make a joyful noise, says most translations, and we've read that so many times. I had, and still probably do again. But they just make a joyful noise. Well, that's no big deal. What is that? I don't know. Some translations, newer ones, change that. And they say, shout for joy. That gets it across. Make a joyful noise, just doesn't do it. Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. All the earth. Worship Him. And I like to change that to the first person. Jim used to do that in a lot of our songs. Change it to the first person. Let it hit. Let it have effect. Instead of worship Him, worship me, God says, with gladness. Worship it with gladness. Gladness is felt. If you have fake gladness, you're as empty as a bad comedian. You know, it's nothing. Come into my presence, the old translations say His, with singing. He doesn't want empty singing. He didn't want me singing today, or you. If I don't mean anything, if there's no felt devotion from me that I'm trying to express, come into my presence with singing. Know that the Lord, and those are, you'll notice in your Bible, most of them, caps and lower caps, little and small caps. That means the word in Hebrew was Yahweh, or Greek, Yahweh. Know that the Lord is God. Let me, he's saying, by that, let me be who I am to you. Not something you formulated and made up in your own head who I ought to be, who you think I should be. I want to be who I am. So worship me, the Lord, with gladness. Come into my presence with singing. Know that I, the Lord, is God. I am God. It is, the scriptures say He, but let's change it to me. It is me that made you. I made you. That's who I am. We are His. Possessive pronoun. Hear it. He's saying to you and me, you're mine. I made you. You're special to me. Don't let this world, opposing messages, change your understanding of what is real. It's me that made you. Let me be who I am. There's all kind of possessives here. We're His, that verse says. Or Jesus saying here, you're mine, God saying. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Over and over, He's trying to say, possessive. I possess you. I owned you. I made you. You're mine. I love you. And since all this is true, as we continue to verse 4, enter my gates with thanksgiving. Let there be something in you that says, I just got to say thank you to God. Let it be real. Enter His courts with praise. And that's not empty praise where I just try to be more concerned that I stay on tune than I do what I'm saying. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. It's almost like a continual coaching by God on how to interact with Him. give him the thanks that's real from your heart, and then bless his name, for the Lord is good. I'm a good God to you. You know that? If you don't know that, you can't have any felt devotion. My steadfast love endures forever. Endures, in my case, is the right word. Because he had to endure so much thickness and sin proneness in Earl that his love had to endure, or else it would have just evaporated or gone out like a light bulb. His love endures. It doesn't quit. It's forever. My faithfulness for all generations, it just remains. It just stays. And those are just packed words. I'm not going to give up on you, is what God says. My faithfulness doesn't quit. If you're breathing, there's still hope. There's still a chance. There's still something you can do to let felt devotion grow in you and rekindle and reflame and reset to life that kind of relationship with you that I want. But if you just remain technical, if you're only into things that make sense to this world on how and what, then you're not going to make it. Without the felt devotion, it can't come to be. We can see this in so many ways. Little kids are beautiful. That's why we teach them. That's why we meet on how to do it and all that stuff. Because their little ears are still open. They can hear. They soak up how wonderful God is. If we as teachers, as parents, as friends, as people they know, if we show them how wonderful God is, they can hear it. And they respond. Let me read to you Psalms 105, verses 4 and 5, and they will be the outline for the rest of what I'll say. Beautiful psalm. And God is saying in this psalm, let me have a place of nearness with you. Nearness implies we're devoted to each other. People who aren't devoted don't have any nearness. They don't have any. If they aren't devoted to each other to the point that in all kind of relationships, it would be true in husbands and wives. It would be true in close friends, true among siblings if it's a healthy household. It would be true everywhere that felt devotion needs to be there, a place of nearness with each other that's fueled and bounded in love. Just makes it right, makes it what it needs to be. Seek the Lord, says this psalm, seek the Lord. And that's God saying, seek me. Seek the Lord. And seek my strength. Seek my presence continually. If you hear that as God saying, first person, just him, to you, man, does it speak. Remember the wonderful deeds that I've done. God claims that in your life and in all lives, he has done incredible things. Do you appreciate them? Did it build some felt devotion? Or did you just slough it off and say, I'm just going to run out here and chase the baubles the world holds up in front of me? Remember the wonderful things, the wonderful deeds I've done, my miracles, my judgments, the things I've said because I care enough to talk to you to try to guide you. I hope these desires of God, just hearing them, come straight from him, purposed straight for you, and express to you, have already, if not, then maybe now, moved you. You ever get moved by something? Just touched, affected. Kind of have an energy activated in you that says, this moves me to do something. I can't just sit here and do nothing and walk away as though it didn't matter. I hope it's moved you to a responding thought to what God just said. A thought saying, yes, my God. I am motivated to seek you, yes. To seek your presence continually. To respond to you. You've said it. I've let the whatever was stopping me from hearing it previously be moved out, and I hear it. You're calling me. So, yes. How? How do I do it, Lord? And that question ought to follow. If I don't ever answer the question how, I'll never do anything. I'll just say, well, that was nice. Kind of felt a little bit like God was interested. I'll never do anything unless I ask how and then find an answer. And he already answered, seek the Lord. is the first part of the answer. Seek His strength is a big part of the answer. If I'm seeking His strength, I have already said I don't have enough strength of my own. And I'm seeking Him, and with Him, in that relationship He wants, comes His strength. It comes strength to get off the ground and stand up again. It comes all kinds of things that you face in life, strength to go on. I love Bible verses where God says, just seek me, Earl. I want to be sought by you. And He does. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while He may be found. The time will run out. I only have so much time left, not as much as I used to have. It'll run out for all of us. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Seek the Lord before Satan succeeds totally in blinding your eyes and stopping your ears where you can't even think or have any message from God to draw you anymore. Call on Him while He is near, that scripture says. Let the wicked... He loves the wicked, you know that? He just loves them. He talks to them, if they can hear it. Let the wicked forsake his way. Forsake it. Turn your back on it. Walk away from it. Because it's messing up the relationship between you and God. Let the evil man forsake his thoughts. Wow, how profound is that? Evil thoughts have to be forsaken, gotten rid of. They poison, pollute, contaminate, toxify your life. They just do. So forsake them. Walk away from them. Turn away. And then he says, let this man turn to the Lord. Turn. Important words. I can't walk away if I keep walking in the same direction toward them. You got to turn. Go where they aren't. Go away from them. And then he says, conditioned obviously on that turn, he will have mercy. He'll have mercy. He'll help. He'll move in. You've prepared an opening for him. He loves you already. He wants to be sought by you. He's been seeking you. He'll have mercy. He'll be there for you. And he will freely pardon. Ha! Maybe the best line in that whole scripture. When God freely pardons, seeking me from his heart, wanting me to seek him, and I look at all the reasons he ought not to pardon me, reasons that I would have a hard time pardoning anybody that have been in my life. And he'll pardon me. And he promises, says it can't be changed. It's solid, locked, nothing. Power between heaven and earth will ever change that. Given those conditions, I'm turning, Lord. I'm sick of this stuff I've been chasing. Letting it toxify, pollute my life, mess me up. I'm turning. I'll tell you what, Earl. I'm going to pardon. I'm going to give you a clean, fresh beginning. A fresh beginning. That's what pardon is. It's a time, it's an opportunity, sourcing right out of the great heart and love of God that never quits, for a new beginning for anyone at any point in any circumstance that exists on planet Earth while they're still breathing. He offers pardon. There's nothing more precious than that. Just absolutely nothing. He will pardon. We need faith that believes. A faith that believes. Believes what? Hebrews 11:6. Believes that he rewards, and we just saw the reward, those who seek him. He rewards. He doesn't sit on his thumbs and do nothing. He rewards. He helps. He reaches down. You're trying. You want to turn away from this junk. You want that devotion that took you give me any attention, the ears that let a little of my message in. You want to respond to that. You want me in your life. So you know what? You respond. You turn. I'll move into action. New beginning. Life starts all over. No guilt. Don't drag any of that junk with you anymore. Forsake even the thoughts that you know are pulling you backward. Get rid of them. We need a faith that he rewards those who seek him. And these words compose an invitation from God to come to our aid. No matter how we messed our lives up, no matter how they've been contaminated, he says, I'll come. I'll clean you up. I'll let you walk away with a new beginning. There's nothing more precious than that. His strength comes with Him. Seek the Lord and His strength. It comes with Him when He comes. New strength to the seeker. He brings strength to help, which is not mine. Mine's not nearly enough. He brings added strength where you get past it and you have brightness of life, new beginning. Most of us have faced times when we needed that invitation. I have. Many, many times when I needed it. The year was, I guess, 1976. I'm sitting in a hospital in Valdosta, Georgia, and my dad is dying. We know that. I'm there. Two of his brothers are there. His sister is there. Dad had three brothers. One died in the army way back before this. But two of his brothers are still living, and his sister's still living, and we're all there in that hospital room. I'm there. And he's dying. And we come to the point when somebody's going to have to make a decision. How long do we try to keep him alive? He's got cancer of the lungs, cancer of the throat. He's got emphysema. And his lungs are rapidly and more rapidly filling up with fluid from that emphysema and all the other stuff he had. And he's drowning. He's literally drowning in his own fluid. There, he gets real bad. He starts struggling and flouncing. And they come in and they pump that fluid out of his lungs. But the time between when they pumped it and have to come back and pump it again is getting shorter and shorter. It's gotten down to, well, now to where? It's about every 10 or 12 minutes. Somebody's got to say, let's just let him go. His brothers can't do it. Neither can his sister. False to me. I couldn't think I could do it either. But I saw him suffer that last time. Right then, they pumped his lungs off, and I said, no more. That's it. You have times when you need strength. You don't have on your own. You've had some. We'll all have more. So the thrust of my sermon today is seek Him while He may be found. Come to Him out of felt devotion so that when you need Him, Satan has so blinded your ears or your eyes and closed your ears to where you can't hear how precious God is. And He could still bring that strength you're gonna need. You can't duck it. You can't go a past where it will not be yours. It's going to be yours. You need Him. Don't pass Him up until it's too late. Come to Him while He's still available. The word continually needs some attention. I might just save that for another time. Seek my presence continually, he says. That's like the old scripture in Thessalonians. It says, pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean that I got to walk around in a prayer position and never, you know, that's all I'm doing. It means don't stop. And I'll just make one or two points for that and I'm done. In order to do that, and there's never a safe time when you don't need His presence and you don't need His availability to come. And all His promises that He promises for whatever life deals, you'll have Him there. It can happen at any moment to any one of us. And I would suggest a couple of things are needed for you to be able to know that's there. You have kept His, you have responded to His words when He says, seek My presence. Because His presence is so precious. Mine alone is just aloneness and no strength. But mine with His presence is incredible strength. Seek Me continually, He says. You need two things for that I would suggest. You need a time, all the time, every day. And you need a place. You don't do anything without a time and a place. That's a continual need. In my case, that brings me to my old prayer shack. I got a prayer shack. It used to be called a lumber shed. Renamed it. Still got some old lumber in there. This is a prayer shack. Some of you have seen it. I think Larry saw it. I forget how many in this room have seen my prayer shack. A few, I know, have seen it. It's not pretty. Gene, when I was building it, said, if it doesn't look any better than this, when you get done, you've got to tear it back down. It's an eyesore. Well, it still is. You need a place, that prayer shack. And you need a regular time. Continually doesn't mean, well, continually, if I come to Him seeking Him maybe once every 6 months or once every 3 or 4 weeks, that's not enough. That's not continually. You need a time and a place. You need to set it up. Jesus suggests that, teaches that. When He says, when you pray, go into your room. The old King James says, in your closet. Pick it, either one. That's a place. Shut the door. Why did you say shut the door? Because we don't need anybody here, Earl, except you and me. As you and God. Pray to your Father, who is in secret. You got a secret meeting with God going on. Just you and Him. And the Father who sees in secret, and there it is, that same old response, will reward you openly. He'll come, He'll help. You got that place and time when you come to Him, you seek Him continually. Time and a place to do it, and it happens. Short of that, you're out there on your own. His presence is not promised outside that. Wow, to me that is so profound. I hope it is to you. I had one quick little caveat thought there. I was out there here, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And I don't know anybody's around because nobody's ever around out there. And I don't talk to God quietly, and so I just talk, okay, right out loud. Talk to God. Somehow that makes me feel more like He's right here. I acknowledge His presence. I can talk to Him out loud. Well, had a guy walk up. I didn't know he was there. He was one of these gas and oil people, whatever he was. He's out there to get my permission to do seismographic tests on my property out there. I didn't know he was there. He walked up and he heard me talking in there, and he assumed there was a couple of us or something. And we got in there, and there's nobody there but me. He's already decided I'm a weirdo. Didn't understand that a bit. I told him I pray out here. And he said, well, okay. I don't. Sounds strange, but doesn't kind of mesh with me. I don't. It sounds weird. I still think you're a weirdo. That's what he was thinking, I think. But anyway, I love that place. It's not pretty. I love it because God and I have met there. Over and over and over. You need that, no matter what place of life you are. Don't let Satan have blocked your ears to where you're deaf to the calling and seeking of God and seeking back. Little children do that. They're so precious. Hadn't had time to block their ears yet. He'll help you move, and if you willfully want to, have a felt devotion to Him where you can hear Him. Let that be for you today. Come as we sing.